When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so I made Josh guess the number. Now,
big number.
I'll admit to you, Josh is a little bit of a setup. I thought you were going to undershoot it, and I was right. You know, I wanted it for wow factor.
I knew there was only one year of positivity.
Yes.
In that category.
Yes.
Because we've talked about this stat a lot over the years.
We have. And it comes up again because Matt Rhule in his most recent media availability Tuesday said, quote, "We are on a mission to be positive in the turnover margin." We're on a mission to be positive in the turnover margin. Not just better than minus 17.
Not just improvement.
Not just improvement. Positive. Nebraska's done it once as a program since 2013. It was in 2016. Josh, do you care to remember how many games they won that year? It was nine.
Nine.
It was nine football games.
I'm going to say nine.
It was nine football games. All right. Matt Rhule, in his head coaching career in college football, has gone positive in the turnover margin. Let's see. One, two, three, four out of seven times. I should say four out of eight because last year was so bad. People forget about that.
People do forget.
He's had a couple bottom out years. Both, all three of his first years at his stops, Temple, Baylor, Nebraska, minus in the turnover margin. One of his second years at Temple, they went from minus six to plus three. At Baylor in his second year from 17 to 18, 2017 to 2018, they went minus 14 to minus nine and then made the big jump. In his third year, that team was, of course, very, very good. Won a Big 12 championship.
People forget.
People do forget about that. Matt Rhule says we are on a mission to go positive in the turnover margin. Let me tell you something right now, Josh. If Nebraska is able to do something completely unthinkable, and it's simple to a lot of teams around the country. Like, I wonder if you go back. I should have actually had this stat ready. If you went back and you looked at Iowa in the turnover margin since it during that period of time. How many times they've gone negative? I would guess one or less. I would guess one or less. And it's no wonder that they have won as many football games as they had over that period of time. But let me tell you this. If Nebraska makes that jump from minus 17 to positive in the turnover margin, they're winning probably at least nine games. I mean, and like the sky is the limit
right
at that point. Like I could pretty much guarantee you that they're going to win eight, probably nine. And then, you know, we'll see how much they're able to take the top off of that. That's how big of a deal it's been for Nebraska football. In fact, Nebraska had some seasons under Bo Pelini, for instance, where they won a whole bunch of games and they were still pretty bad in the turnover margin. 2014, they won nine games. They were minus two in the turnover margin. 2013, they won nine games. They were minus 11 in the turnover margin. That was almost dead last in the country. It's been a thing that has plagued Nebraska over multiple coaching staffs over a long period of time now, but it is representative of a lot of different things. I mean, first of all, I think it happens because Nebraska's reliance on running quarterbacks, which is something that they do not have this year. The one year in this time frame that I'm looking at, the 11 years in which they did not have a quote-unquote running quarterback, they were minus seven in 2017. That would have been the Tanner Lee year, not a running quarterback. But if you remember, he threw picks every time he threw the ball. So there was that piece of it too. Not that that's not possible here, but minus seven would be a 10 turnover improvement.
Wow.
From last year. And so I'm going to lay this out. First of all, I'm not sure I buy that they can get all the way to positive yet. It's a really good goal, obviously. I'm not sure I buy it. There's no problem at all with Matt Rhule saying that. But I do think that thing is coming significantly down this year. I hope that Nebraska can force the ball out more on defense. I know they'll turn it over less on offense. I'm sure of it. So they're minus 65 in the turnover margin since 2013, which averages out to about 5 points. So let's call it minus six a year over 11 seasons. Minus six a year over 11 seasons. What if I told you that Nebraska was going to be minus six? And then what if I told you that Nebraska was going to be higher or at their high water mark in the last decade, which is plus five, or somewhere in between there? I don't even know that it has to be as good as plus five in the turnover margin for Nebraska. But I think where you're looking at is somewhere in that range. And if they are somewhere in that range, with as good as Nebraska's defense was last year, not necessarily at punching the ball out, but with as good as their defense was last year, just generally, right? We're talking bulk stats here, yards, getting stops, things like that, points. We're good in all those categories. And they have this offense that is functional at this point. That's all that Dylan Raiola comes in and is expected of him. Just be functional, right? Don't make these horrible, horrible mistakes.
Don't make mistakes. Be careful with the football.
I'm a little concerned about Nebraska's ability, just to run the ball with their running backs in a traditional sense. Like, that's the thing that kind of holds you up, I guess, in this conversation.
Might get into some situations where you got to, we need to take the top off. We need to sling it here.
Yeah, or that's where you get Dylan Dylon going on some RPOs and stuff like that and make him start to make plays. Those plays might get you a few third downs, but they might also result in a few turnovers.
Iowa's turnover margin last year, minus seven.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. There
you
go.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
So that's where you get into a little bit of a push and pull with young Dylon. Like, how much do you want to use his extreme high-end talent to your advantage, right? Basically, how dangerous do you want to be with him? How much are you going to allow him to do the things that he does well?
Right.
I always go back to, Spencer Rattler, right? Spencer Rattler is so talented, and in a lot of cases, and especially in his time at South Carolina, he threw just a billion picks. I mean, he was relied on to do all of the things in the offense, and it resulted in turnovers. So,
interesting quarterback you've chosen to highlight there.
Why is that?
I believe we know his former OC.
Interesting. That's right. I didn't even think about that, Josh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I
thought you did it on purpose.
Well, no, because I think of him because he's... The plight with him is that his arm talent is so good that it tricks you into thinking that you should give him all the keys to everything.
Oh, he must be a good quarterback because he has a great arm.
He is a good quarterback. But when you put too much on the quarterback, that's where you run into trouble. So what will be the push and pull with using that piece of Dylan Raiola's high-end talent, arm talent, likes of that we've very rarely seen in Nebraska, if ever. And then also having the pieces around him and saying, hey, look, maybe the best play is to trust our defense here. And is there ever a frustration there at some point in time where he's not, like, you haven't fully uncorked him until later on in his career, or at least later on in this year? It's a maturation process a little bit. So that's where you get into that question a little bit. But back to the turnover piece. In between minus six and plus five. In between minus six and plus five. So we're already talking about an 11 turnover positive net gain from Nebraska a year ago.
Be 11 turnovers better.
Yes. I know it's a tough ask, and it seems like a ridiculous thing. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's well within Nebraska's ability. Remember, Nebraska lost offensively 31 turnovers last year. They threw 16 interceptions. So if you can cut the fumbles in half and then maybe cut the interceptions in half as well. So you're down to like basically 8 and 8 of each of those, where you had 15 and 16 last year. All of a sudden, your turnover lost number is coming down to half as well. It's in the neighborhood of about 15 or 20. That would have put Nebraska, if you were 15 in the turnover loss category last year, 15 turnovers, that's a little more than one per game. That's something you could live with, right? Nebraska's defense got themselves 14 takeaways last year. You'd be talking about minus two or three, you know, minus one, two, three, somewhere in that range. Nebraska would have won like three more games last year, guaranteed.
Yeah.
They would have won like three more games last year. And this is a team that we think is conventionally, just like from an operational standpoint, better. Its quarterback is certainly more talented. Its defense is looking to take the next step. So I think you could get kind of crazy with this a little bit and start to think the sky's the limit on this stuff. And it's almost a good thing that they bottomed out so much last year. That way you could be like, well, you know, you're going to set the bar. Whatever it is this year, you're going to set the bar, because you ain't going to be minus 17. You're not going to be dead last in the country in turnover margin.
God willing.
God willing. Or I think I don't know how many teams there are in FBS anymore, but I have it marked down as they were 130th in the country in lost turnovers last year.
I believe there's 131. Temple was the only one worse.
There you go. And they were better, 129th in margin.
Yeah.
So congratulations to them.
That's where Temple was one worse than Nebraska.
Oh, so maybe there's only 130. Yeah. Maybe they're dead last in turnovers given up in the country last year. And so, you know, you could put all that stuff together, and I talked about it before, but you know, that's where the wave of Kool-Aid starts to hit you a little bit. It's a numbers game. It's a math game. Nebraska's schedule is not particularly difficult for a Big Ten schedule. You have a nice little ramp and a runway for young Dylon, and then what you play at the back end of the season is maybe not as solid as you once thought it was. Like, you could, you know, you can always expect a tussle with Wisconsin, but I think they're still in like this kind of transition phase, this transition period. What's Iowa going to look like this year? Probably just like Iowa. Nebraska's proven that they could be at the very least right in those games, if not win them, even while their turnover margins have been horrid, terrible. USC, UCLA, and then Ohio State is obviously borderline impossible. But, it's hard. It's very, very hard for Nebraska to win that game. But you look at the schedule, and you're like, okay. If you plug me in for a positive turnover margin, like Nebraska's Matt Rhule said the other day, the sky is the limit. I would say, Josh, that all bets are off in that point.
Oh?
All bets are off. Remember, all bets are off? That didn't work out last year.
It did not.
I almost regret saying it to a certain extent, but All bets would indeed be off at that point. So that's where I think that's where the positivity comes from. Like in the idea that they bottomed out, I shouldn't say they bottomed out, but they were just so bad last year in these key categories. With that being said, they sacked the quarterback with, you know, I don't know if it was, I mean, they had 30 sacks, 32 sacks last year. Their sack margin, right? They sacked the quarterback three more times than their opponents did last year, which is pretty good. Nebraska has spent the last 6 seasons before last year getting sacked more than they sacked. So that's already a positive step. So you can't say, hey, look, they were so bad in that category last year. There's all this room to grow.
23rd in the country in sacks as a team last year.
32? Is that your number that you have?
That is correct.
32 sacks last year. Matt Rhule said 40 sacks, win 10 games. All right?
40 would put you at 9th in the country.
So 40 sacks and then getting that turnover margin closer to zero, Nebraska is winning 10 games. If those things happen, Nebraska's going to win 10 games. In Matt Rhule's third and final season at Baylor, they sacked the quarterback 46 times.
That would be second in the country last year.
Indeed. Matt Rhule, in his time as head coach, has only sacked the his teams have only sacked the quarterback 40 times twice. Both of those teams won 10 games in 2016 at Temple and in 2019 at Baylor. I'm not saying that every number has to go up across the board. It does. Nebraska will have deficiencies. But if sure. you play it out, it's a math equation in your head and all these different things you have from last year and, you know, how close they were to a bowl game in the first place. But it all leads to the conversation of, first of all, if Nebraska's not in a bowl game this year, we got real problems.
Real problems.
You know, second
questions
of all,
questions will be asked.
Your goal this year should not be your happiness should not be solely based upon if Nebraska does go to a bowl or not go. It should be higher than that. Nebraska okay. should be in a warm weather bowl game this year, whatever mm-hmm. you know, whatever that means. Nebraska should be, you know, an 8-9, like. I hope that there's a point where you're looking up in the beginning of November and you're like, is there still an outside chance for us to get to the Big Ten championship game? You know, that kind of thing. Those should be kind of the questions that you're asking this year. I'm not saying this is disappointment if you aren't in that position, but I mean, we're just, I think our brains are programmed to think like this has to be linear and you go from 5 and then next year you go to 6 and then you see what happens after that. Like, I think the jump has all the makings of being there in the win column for Nebraska football this year. And that's where the wave of Kool-Aid hits you a little bit. It's hitting me, Josh.
I love it.
It's hitting me.
Much earlier than normal.
I don't know. This is about the time.
This is about the time? Okay.
This is about the time. We're getting into some real big picture summary type of conversations right now. Text from the 402. I would say, also, the Casey Thompson year was a year without a running quarterback. I think Dylon and Casey would be similar in the run category. Okay, that's probably a good point. The Casey Thompson year, Nebraska in turnover margin, -3 in 2022.
Okay.
-3.
You can live with
that. You can live just fine with that. You can live with that in the sense of, like, that's like a... I know it didn't end up being that in 2022 for a variety of different reasons, mostly because the defense pooped its own pants in the first three games of the season and everybody got fired. You know, if you go -3, like the conversation point at the end of the season is going to be, God, we were in a lot of close games and, you know, there was more left out there for us, but we won 8 games.
Left some plays on the field.
We left some plays, like, Maybe that will be the feeling at the end of 2024 for Nebraska. It will be there's this positivity and like, oh my God, we made the jump from 5-8. We're kind of feeling back, but also, man, they were like 3 plays away from 11 or something like that. I could see that. I could see that being a feeling and a result of this football season.
So, Dylon.
Yeah, turnover stats. You know, I'm gonna just keep talking about them all summer long, if that's okay with you guys. Is that good?
Please, talk about it all summer long.
What do we got going on the YouTube right now? Theo says the Kool-Aid is enraging, especially underestimating the Buffs again. Yeah, I think...
What would you see, the running back that they're talking to?
No.
Ohio State running back visiting?
Oh boy. Oh, Kool-Aid's going to be crazy.
Turning it all around.
Yeah, I think we got to... I think we got to adjust our brains to Nebraska having a competent football coach. It helps, it turns out.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think Nebraska has a competent football coach. There's some stuff like that happened in the actual games last year that I think that will crop up is, you know, maybe it costs them one or so this year.
Yeah.
But once again,
it's not going to be perfect. This is not going to be a well-oiled machine.
These first couple of years, it's about raising the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's about raising the floor. So if you're looking for raising the floor, whatever that means, you know, if I always, you know, my time watching Nebraska football, the floor was like, all right, we're going to win pretty much 7 games rolling out of bed. You know, we're going to win like 8 games pretty much no matter what. And, you know, I think that floor has a chance to be reestablished this year. And then you go beyond that with your mega talented 5-star quarterback and then, like I said, all bets are off.
We're getting out of the sub-basement.
Out of the sub-basement and into the regular basement.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. What did Hurt and Husker fans say here? Curious how much these two factors had to do with Raiola's decision that I never considered. The easy ramp-up start to his first season and how much he wanted you to stop pronouncing his name Dylon.
Dylon.
You guys may have some serious credit in that commitment.
We'd be happy to take the credit if this works.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm sure he loves being called Dylon, and I'm sure he definitely knows about it. That's for sure. All right. We can have more on that later in the show, your guys' thoughts, but let's have our recruiting chat here with Brian Munson of Husker Online. Not keep him waiting any longer. Coming up on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, and it is the case for a couple more teams tonight. Bulls Heat, Kings Pelicans. They both get the chances to play one seeds should they win. So it only seems right that new customers in the FanDuel Sportsbook can play their way into $150. It's that easy. Just place. In fact, it's easier than it would be for any of these play-in teams, especially to get past the number one seed. Just place any $5 bet on these games tonight, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Don't take any Jimmy Butler overs, anything like that. No, stay away. In fact, they won't even offer those on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Pick somebody else, maybe like Kobe White, to drop another 40 or whatever he did the other night, or first basket scorers, team totals, overs, unders, and just good old-fashioned spreads. You can cook up a same-game parlay or anything else on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Head to FanDuel.com/Happer and get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in Iowa. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.